the Gospel of Matthew, the story of the king. Today we look at the purpose, the remainder of my time, we're just going to continue walking through Matthew, and so we'll take a stopping place, but right now we're in chapter 4. We've looked at the chapter 1 and chapter 2, those were infancy narratives, and chapter 3, we looked at the issue of the baptism of Jesus and the purpose of how he identifies with us by being baptized. Chapter 4, we looked at the issues of the temptation story and all of that, the way that the devil twists scripture and the issues of temptation and how we are victorious over temptation because Christ is victorious. Today, we look at the next part of chapter 4 and as he begins his public ministry. But if we could stand and read together chapter 4, verses 12 through 25. Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 25. And again, I'm reading out of the New International Version, so if it's a little different, then that's why. Matthew says this: when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived at Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah: land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness having seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering from severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Thank you. You may be seated, and let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for what we've been singing about, what we've been talking about as we sing praises and hymns to your name, and how we know that we can trust you because you are our Father, our anchor, our Lord, our salvation, our King. Everything. You are everything to us, and you are our Savior, and we thank you. And fathers, we look now to this passage of Scripture as we follow along the gospel message of who you are and what you are about. I thank you so much for the words inspired by your Holy Spirit to Matthew. And Father, now as we look to this portion, we pray for the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, for the idea that we can concentrate on who you are. And so, Father, we pray that everything we say and do would be in keeping with your will and your wishes. Father, I pray now that when we leave here the next few moments, that we would be different, that we'd be changed, that we'd be closer to you because of our worship experience with you today. In Christ's name, amen. The world and the eyes of the world are in South Florida today. And it's an absolute amazing thing to be a part of the Super Bowl. I don't know if you care about the Super Bowl, but if you do care about the Super Bowl, it's just an amazing thing. And every time the Super Bowl is in Tampa next year, but all eyes are on Miami right now. Whenever the Super Bowl is in Miami, My sons and I, we do something called the NFL experience or the Super Bowl experience. And it's just this great interactive type of thing. And it's just, it's a blast. And you get to meet football players and those, if you're a Tua fan, I walked right by him. I didn't know who he was, but it's just an amazing thing to sit and watch and be a part of this great event. It's free. But they started charging this time. And we noticed that there was a lot of money. And there, when you look at the behind the scenes of the Super Bowl experience, or any experience like this, there's a lot of money that is spent. And a lot of money that comes, the economy comes to the local area. And so I would say not only South Florida, but all of Florida, and then same thing with next year. It's just an amazing, amazing thing. It's a lot of fun. And it's a great, great experience. But it's very sad that in all of all the glitz and the glamour and the fun and the autographs and the lights and I don't know how many stations, radio stations, TV stations, sportscasters. And by the way, we were waiting in line for one of my sons to get there, and some media guy got very upset because the line was getting long, and he said their security was making everybody go through this one gate. And he said, they can't expect us to stay here and wait in line with the fans, do they? And one of my sons said, oh, yes, I'm so sorry. You have to wait in line with us fans. You know, it's a way to go. But the sad part is that along with all of this, it are those issues of drug dealing, human trafficking, monies spent in a negative way. And not only don't sit there and think about the Super Bowl, but it's the same thing with the Daytona 500. Whenever you know the 500 is the kingpin for racing fans, and the same thing exists along with all of the glitz and all the popularity and all the autographs. Along with that comes all of the ill repute. About 5 years ago, in the summer race, I forget what it's called now, but I was very upset because out of the blue, I got a picture of a little kid at a hotel. And it was, you know, you can come to this room and da 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 da. And so I reported it to the police and you know, it goes on from there. But all of that, and then you open up the newspaper, and you, all you have to do, all, look at all of the things that we've had this week, and of course the issue over from Kobe Bryant to the impeachment process to the this and the that and the things in the Middle East and this, and then you see people doing just crazy things. As the woman who I don't know what the end result of the story was, some opera singer got drunk and tried to crash through the gate at Mar-a-Lago, you know. But it's just insane stuff. And then you sit and you realize our world is crazy, right? We live in a crazy world. People are just crazy, and you sit there and you go, why? Why do we go through all of this from insane good, insane bad, insane ugly? And you realize that there are people that are just hurting and they need something in their lives. We would say it like this: people need the five S's. One, support in their lives, or stability in their lives, significance in their lives, self-expression in their lives, and then lastly, something bigger than themselves in their lives. And that is what we come to in this place, the purpose and ministry of Christ. God chose His Son to be the supreme sacrifice, and He wants us to have this relationship. He wants to have a relationship with us. And so why did Jesus come to earth, and what is his purpose and mission? And that's what we're going to talk about here in these next few verses. We see this is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. It marks the obedience to the divine will of the Father. After his baptism and after the temptation of the wilderness, we see that John the Baptist is in prison. And John was arrested. He goes to prison in the dungeon of the castle of Machaerus by Herod the king. And his crime was publicly denouncing Herod for seducing his brother's wife and making her his own wife after he put his own wife away. Sounds like something you would see on All My Children or something like that. I don't watch All My Children. I'm just saying something, you know. But we look at this issue as we come to this place. There is the ministry of Christ in three different ways. First is a ministry of confession, a message of repentance. And in verse 12, when Jesus heard that John was in prison, he departed to Galilee. And after leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. And it goes on from there. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, Capernaum was known for 10 to 12,000 trading caravans. There were many tax stations there. It was an urban and intellectual town. Somebody asked me, how was my trip on the way up? Was there a lot of traffic? And yes, I left a few minutes early to make sure I wasn't caught in the Super Bowl traffic. But I got to tell you that stuff is going to be coming up here later this week. So don't get surprised if you're caught in it yourself. Okay? But Capernaum is this known for an urban setting. Galilee was known for rebellion against Rome. We see that as Jesus, can anything good come from Galilee? Jesus the Galilean. In the intertestamental period, we know that Galilee was a place of rebellion. And so this is where, so when we see Jesus from Galilee, it is not known as this wonderful place, but a place for rebelliousness. Galilee was also a fertile, progressive, highly populated region, 60 by 30 miles. According to Josephus, who is a Jewish historian, 3 million people populated an area smaller than the state of Connecticut. And it was an area known for good soil and good farming. And Matthew uses this understanding of Jesus as the fulfilled prophecy here in Isaiah. When he says, preaching of the gospel is a proclamation of the gospel. Repent. It's also an interesting thing that Jesus picks up where John the Baptist left off. Repent. John was preaching repentance in Matthew 3, and here now Jesus is preaching repentance in chapter 4. But there's a call to confession or repentance. Now, you know in Greek, we talk about this all the time, repentance in Greek is metanoia. It's not feeling sorry for yourself, but rather a change of heart. It's going one way and making a U-turn. It's going one way and then turning around and making a U-turn. It's not going one way and then saying, hey, it's okay. We were talking about this yesterday. My daughter, when she first started dating her fiancé, she was dropping off my son at camp. And she said to me, it just so happened. I got lost. I dropped Daniel off at camp and I just happened to end up in Zachary's neighborhood. I said, is there a dinner table? I said, oh, this is interesting. I said, because the camp is like 6 or 7 miles from Zachary's neighborhood. I know, isn't that interesting? I said, let's back this up again. I said, I know, I was dropped Daniel off, I took a wrong turn, and I just happened to end up in Zachary's neighborhood. I said, let's try this again. I know. I dropped Daniel off, I went the wrong way, and I just happened to, it just happened, okay. But you see, there. In other words, it's not I feel bad because I got caught. It's the idea of repentance. It's a change of mind. It's a change of heart. It's a change of soul. It is not a government bailout. I've got a good friend, Dick McCormick. He's in his 80s, and he writes occasionally for the Florida Baptist Witness and other periodicals. And he's just been, he was a military man, and he was a veterinarian, and he's just an incredible, incredible guy. Auburn veterinary medicine, for those who are Alabama fans, you know. But anyway, he recently sent me an essay that he wrote on, and he writes on all kinds of things. But years ago, he wrote on the issue of Washington and the auto industry. Remember, years ago, there was the problem. Detroit was at a time when gas was going up. Automakers were piping out huge cars and trucks and SUVs, not as the case today. Hummers that sucked out 6 miles a gallon and the American dollar went into the tank. And he talked about this issue of a bailout. Repentance is not a bailout, but a change of heart. Unfortunately, we hear about these stories about this ministers get caught stealing. And this one guy, it was the strangest story of all the experiences I've had with pastors and things like this. This guy, I don't know why he did it. I still don't know why he did it. But as a retiring pastor was going out, this guy was, the retiring pastor was still there. He went and changed the people on the finance committee. And then he went and took somebody that wasn't too bright and put him on the finance committee. And then went down to the Cadillac place and bought a brand new Cadillac Escalade. $50,000. Beautiful black Cadillac Escalade. And charged it to the church. So the church had like $750 a month payments. And then he's driving around town, in this small town, with this Cadillac Escalade. Well, the retiring pastor comes back and someone tells him, I see pastor such and such is driving along a Cadillac Escalade. So they do the homework. They find out what happened. They called him and he ran off because he got caught. And so he finally got caught. The next week we're sitting there at in the church with an attorney, his attorney and our attorney and all of this. And I mean, it's just insane. But it was the strangest thing I've ever seen. But you see, he wasn't contrite until brought with the evidence, which was the Cadillac Escalade. How can you deny it? $48,000, $50,000 vehicle. Then he was sorry. And too many times we get confused with what I'm sorry because I got caught versus true repentance. Repentance is a change of heart, a change of soul, a change of mind. It's the idea that I come to the place where I'm confessing my sins, my wrongdoing, and I'm agreeing with God, and I'm making a change. Also, the term kingdom of heaven is the divine authority and rule given by the Father to the Son. In other words, the kingdom refers to Jesus himself. And so there is, first of all, Jesus' purpose and mission is a ministry of confession. Confession. Secondly, it's a ministry of calling. Jesus chooses us. It's the idea that will we go along or not? We have the choice to go along, but Jesus chooses us. God chooses us. And see, now Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishermen. And by the way, who are the fishermen here? If you're a fisherman, please raise your hand. You like to catch fish, right? You know, let me tell you, my dad was an excellent fisher. He could catch anything with anything. I spend hours out in the Everglades, and my kids laugh at me because I can't catch anything. So I need to talk to you. But these two brothers are getting ready to cast a net into the sea. Jesus says to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. They were going on from there. He sees two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. He chose the disciples. He chooses us. That issue of follow me is a command. He says, I will make you fishers of men. Not I will make you popular. I will make you rich beyond measure. I will give you all that you will ever want or need in life. But I will make you fishers of men. I will show you how to reach people for the kingdom of God. I'm going to teach you how to do it. And it's interesting that God calls all of us for some purpose or some choice, something to do. God, whatever it is, God is choosing you to do something. And so it's up to you whether you're going to do it or not. But He wants all of us. We all have a purpose. And it's interesting that God calls us when we least expect it. Saul was looking for his father's donkeys, and David was keeping his father's sheep. Amos was farming in Tekoa. Moses was tending his father's flock. Matthew was collecting taxes. And whatever it is, however it is, why ever it is, God chooses you, something that only you can do. Verse 20, immediately they got up. They didn't have to think about it. They didn't say, I don't know about this. What about, what people say? What if I fail? This guy over here is much better than I am. Mm-mm. Immediately they left their nets and followed. They dropped their nets in Greek. It's a call to sacrifice. The call of God is not a call to power, a call to popularity, a call to money, but it's a call to sacrifice. I found that the extent of the call determines the outcome in ministry. In other words, if you're a money-called preacher, you'll preach until the money runs out. If you're a mama-called preacher, you'll preach until mama's not happy. If you're a popularity preacher, you'll preach until they're no longer popular. If you're a Jesus-called preacher, you will stay until God calls you and moves you somewhere else. It's the ministry of the call. One of the things that bothers me is that we take this call and we kind of mystify the call. The fact is, if you're breathing today, God has called you to do something. Verse 21, the word for mending nets is the same word used in Galatians when restoring a brother. It's the idea of mending people like a net. It's the ministry of the call. So there's a ministry of confession, a ministry of the call. Third is the ministry of the comeback. Restoration, restitution, healing, recovery. In verse 23, Jesus went about all of Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and kinds of disease among the people. Fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. And great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. There is a ministry of restoration. There is a ministry of the comeback. It is so upsetting to me that in our world today that we seem to forget that there's always room for restoration. There's always room for the comeback. There's always, we serve a God of the second chance, and don't feel that because you have failed or because you're at a place where all you have to do is ask on God and He will restore you. Preach the kingdom of God. Interesting here, which is a proclamation and healing all kinds of sickness and diseases. I love, there are all kinds of affliction, torments, demon possessed, epilepsy and paralytics, those who could not walk. Also, this is the first time it's mentioned in the New Testament of demon possessed, and this one here. I also think it's interesting, Matthew makes a difference between those who were demon possessed and those who had epilepsy or seizures. The Bible says that great crowds followed him from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. The ministry of the comeback. It's always exciting to see when a person has messed up their life, has failed, and things didn't go right, and to see how God reforms them and changes them, transforms them, and they're new, whole people. And so you want to know about the purpose of ministry of Christ. It's a ministry of confession and repentance. Secondly, it's a ministry of calling. Third, it's a ministry of the comeback or restoration. We can always, always come back. Okay, I've got the picture. There's a picture. Kent? Okay, go ahead. I have a picture, and Doug and Carla, thank you for being able to put this up. This is a picture that sits, well, it's on my wall in over in my personal office. I've had it for years. I don't know how I got it. I don't know. Has anybody ever seen this picture before? It was made in 1970. I was told that that the person in the picture with Jesus is a good friend of mine, that somebody painted him into it. I don't know, and he's no longer my best friend anymore, so I don't talk to him. I mean, I guess I could call him and ask him, but we were best friends in high school, and it's such a beautiful, beautiful picture of how God takes our hurts and pains, and he's always with us. I was reminded today that when we went to sleep last night, that our Savior, he didn't go to sleep. He's doing things, and he's active, and he's alive, and he's taking care of us, and he's watching over us, and he's there. And he doesn't get tired because he's God. Okay, thank you. In closing, I don't know if I've mentioned before Anne Rice. Anybody know who the author Anne Rice is? Okay, Anne Rice, she wrote a book called Called Out of Darkness. Anne Rice was the, how to describe, she was an author of very dark novels. She lived in New Orleans. She was the one that when they had the Mardi Gras parade, she would jump out of a coffin and lead these dark parades, very dark novels about vampires and all of this. She grew up in the Catholic Church, but rebelled and basically claimed to be an atheist. She began to deny God for years. And since she was an atheist, and then just probably about 10 years ago, she just found Christ again in a very strange, odd way. And I saw her on television, and I went to the book stop where she was signing autographs. This was 10 years ago. And I met her, and I spoke to her. And it's really an interesting story. Her Christian walk and this kind of thing. But for years, she claimed to be an atheist. But she could not get away from the reality of God and the reality of Christ. And she came to this place. First of all, there was this one sign where she just had to, where she got a hold of the Bible and just would have someone read her the Bible. She read, just could not stop reading the Bible. And she got to the Gospels, and she felt she had to write this book about Jesus. And she said she was flying, and she went over Rio, and you know that the big huge statue that stands over the city, and clouds were covering and uncovering and covering and covering. And she was looking, and she said that just spoke to her as if Jesus was speaking to her. And I can't answer that. I can't answer any of that. But what I can say is that we are in a world of complete and utter chaos. We're in a culture where people will do anything for basically nothing. And people are so empty. And they'll jump to this, and they'll jump to that, and they jump to this, and they jump to that. They jump to relationship, and they jump to that. And it's been real interesting as my daughter is engaged now, and so we're having these very deep conversations about maturity and about how people just will jump in and out of marriages or jump to this and jump to that, trying to find some sort of security in their lives and then being let down and discouraged and disillusioned and hurt and all of that. And that's our life without Christ. You have that understanding. That's a life without Christ. But when you have Christ in your heart and you have Christ in your life, there's nothing that you can do without Christ. There's nothing that you can't accomplish. And so we come to this place where this is the beginning of the public mission and the public ministry of Christ. And he goes around preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. People followed him. It was a call, a ministry to confession, a call and a ministry of calling. God has chosen you and me to accomplish great things for him. And then thirdly, the call to restoration and the comeback. Don't ever, ever think that you've blown it and can't get back into it with God. I don't know if you've ever, where you are in your spiritual journey. I don't know where you are. If you've ever accepted Christ, or maybe you just come to church, maybe you just, if you know, you're just part of the ritual of just coming to church, growing up and going to church, and you leave as empty as you came. Maybe you need to accept Jesus and bring, ask him, follow, just confess your sins to him and ask him, repent, make that turnaround and come back. Maybe God has chosen you for something that you and only you can do. Only you can do. Only you can accomplish whatever it is. Whether it's singing in the church, maybe it's teaching, maybe it's doing something outside. Maybe there's somebody that needs to know about God that only you can talk to. Only you can get through. Don't say no to that. And then thirdly, the issue of restoration. God heals. In his timing, God heals. I pray 3 times a day that God will heal my son. And I don't say, God, you know, I pray expectantly. So don't give up. Have hope and pray expectantly. But as we come to this place of invitation, we're going to pray in just a moment. If you've never accepted Jesus in your heart, we invite you to do that. We want you just to come, and if you're embarrassed to come out of your seat, just come find us afterwards. Talk to me or one of the deacons, Gary. Somebody will talk to you about Jesus. Or maybe you want to join this church. This is a wonderful time. We're closing out a time of transition and beginning a new step in the life and the history of Beachside Baptist Church. You want to get in on that. Or maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray. Or maybe you just need to get a restart in your journey with Christ. Whatever it is, don't leave here without doing business with God. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you today. I thank you, Father. I thank you so much for everything in my life. I thank you for the times of hurt. I thank you, Father, for the times that I needed the kick in the butt. I thank you, Father, for the people that you've led in my life to help me. And Father, I thank you, Father, for saving me. And Father, not only saving me, but calling me. And not only calling me, but having an understanding of restoration. And Father, that we live in an empty world, with hurts and pains and people that just go from thing to thing to thing to thing. At the end of the day, they're just as empty as they were in the morning. And so, Father, I pray that you would reach to them, reach down, reveal yourself to them, reveal your love in such a great way, in such a great fashion, that we cannot deny you. Father, I pray for the future of this church. It's exciting. There's a lot going on. And Father, a lot will be asked of the people here. And so, Father, I pray that they will find their place. Father, I just ask, if there are healings that need to take place today, may you heal. If there's restorations that needs to take place today, restore. If repentance needs to happen, Father, we need to repent. May we repent. In Jesus' name, amen.